Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims, and joining us this morning, Curtis Cannon, Executive Director, and Megan Sayers, a case manager at Hope Haven of East Texas. Good morning to both of you. Great to have you with us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us, John.
Don't forget, In Focus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/infocus. In Focus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Curtis, we had you and I believe another guest on the show a little over a year ago, and there's been a lot of good water under the bridge since then. Basically, if I remember correctly, Hope Haven at that point was a concept. There was a lot of work going on, but since that time, matter of fact, this past May, you have opened a home that is active and operational for girls who are just having different kinds of problems that you're helping them work through. Why don't you flesh that out for us and tell us more about exactly what Hope Haven is and what it does.
Okay. So the last time I was in here, yes, we were in the midst of building a building. We have a building in Lindale that has capacity for 16 girls to come live. The heart of our ministry is for teenage girls. And so what happened was there was a group of volunteers from a Sunday school class, Lisa Ferguson and Paul Christman, that they were going into an emergency shelter here in town. Through that ministry of this class, they saw that the kids that were in the emergency shelter here in Tyler and in Smith County, there was a home for little boys and little girls here in town, and there was a home for teenage boys, but there was no home for teenage girls. And so when girls got through with their time at the emergency shelter, they were going to long-term placements out of town, sometimes as far away as Lubbock, El Paso, the Valley, Houston. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of sparked a need and a desire to build a home here in town that would be a long-term facility for girls in the system that were teenagers. They started raising support in about 2014, and we broke ground in 2016, finished the construction in May of last year, and then had to start a process with the state getting our permits to house the girls, and we were completely permitted up in May of this year.
Okay.
Open our doors.
So now you have eight girls that you're working with at this particular moment?
Yes, we have eight girls in the home right now.
Want to expand that to 16, I believe, by the beginning of early 2019, if all goes well.
That's the plan.
Okay, we've talked about the girls. Who are these girls? How do they find you? What kinds of situations are they in that you are working to rectify?
Okay, so our girls are teenage girls. They're typically going to be between the ages of 13 and 17. These are girls that are in the state foster care system.
Mm-hmm.
They have typically, for the most part, been removed from their homes because of reasons of abuse, abandonment, or neglect,
mm-hmm.
where the court says until the family gets their situation cleared up, you can't go home, and maybe there's not other family available to take them, so they come and stay at Hope Haven. If there were enough foster families out there, then they would probably go with a foster family, but there's not enough. In Texas, we have a shortage of foster families, and so that's kind of the reason we need homes like this here.
Okay, and they are referred by Child Protective Services, I understand.
Yes.
Okay. There are other agencies in the community that do work that doesn't duplicate yours, but that come to mind as we have this discussion. CASA for Kids of East Texas, the Children's Advocacy Center. It seems like the agencies like that are involved with the kinds of issues we're talking about here, and of course Child Protective Services, but your agency, as I understand it, is unique. You are actually a home for these girls who have nowhere else to go.
Right. And there are great organizations here in town, and we like to think that each one has a specific group that they are the most able to take care of. Where, for example, Refuge of Light takes care of girls that are coming out of trafficking background.
Mm-hmm.
Father Heart up in Van and Lindale takes care of girls that are pregnant. We would take care of girls that are in the foster care system that don't fall into those categories but need a safe place to stay.
Okay, and you're working primarily with girls in, you're based in Lindale, offices in Lindale, and the care facility is actually on 6 acres just outside of Lindale. So you're working with girls primarily in Smith County and the surrounding counties, but because of your license, you're not limited to that. You can take girls from anywhere in Texas
if necessary? Anywhere in Texas, right.
Okay. Just to review, Hope Haven started as a dream of a local Sunday school class. This was back in 2011, and you mentioned Lisa Ferguson and Paul Christman as the people who really got the idea rolling. And they set up a nonprofit. The home has 8 bedrooms, 16 beds for girls. And right now you do have 8 girls that you're working with. A question that comes rather quickly to mind, and I know that when we talk to agencies like yours that are caring and that really want to work with these girls as individuals and see to their success now and in the future, sometimes it's a good idea to keep them on for a while, but at a certain point along the way for some of these girls, they need to move on. And I understand you have maybe one right now who's about to make that transition back to her original family?
Back to siblings. So they get to go live with family members who they're more comfortable with and who know them well. But we do try to be a long-term facility so that if they need a place to stay until they're 18, they're able to do that. And we can teach them all the skills to adult living necessary for that and get them ready for college or an education outside of high school.
Okay, talking to Curtis Cannon and Megan Sayers with Hope Haven of East Texas, now operating an almost brand new care facility just outside of Lyndale. And I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. You say age 18, so that means they do age out at that point, right?
They can actually do long-term foster care. So they can, if they're in school or they're working or they have a sibling in the home, they can opt to stay until they're about 22. And if they were to leave when they're 18 and want to come back, they have the option to come back until I think they're 21, so that they have a safe place to stay and a good support system through college.
Mm-hmm. And when they reach that age of 22, they're kind of on their own, but not really, I understand. You continue to work with them and help them make whatever transition they need to make. I don't know that you've reached that point yet. You're basically a brand new care facility, but is what you would do something along those lines?
We would really like to. We'd really like to be a place to come back to for holidays and a support system that they can reach out to. There are also other organizations that come alongside them and help them as they're transitioning into college and out of that. So they're not completely thrown out on their own if they need continued support to help them through those things.
Okay, getting back to the 8 girls that you have right now and the 16 that you hope to be housing by early 2019, what is going on? What are the daily lives of these girls like? You tell us they have a place to call home, receive food, medical support, but kind of walk us through what life is like for one of the girls staying at Hope Haven.
That's an awesome question. So life is, we try to make it as normal as possible, all things considered. They have 2 to a bedroom, 4 to a bathroom. So in that way, it's kind of like a college dorm, except they're younger. And so we also have our common areas. We have family dinner. We have recreational time. So we want to spend time outside and be active. And then we have groups that come in and teach things, teach life skills, do Bible studies. We go to gymnastics on Tuesday nights.
They have chores. One of their favorite things is chores.
Okay.
Well, oh, yeah. That's the best time of the night is getting everyone to do chores. And then they are also very involved in school. They have that opportunity to play sports and do clubs and make friends.
Okay. I'm going to do a couple of things here. I'm going to read your mission statement right off your website, and I'll give that out in a moment. This will just kind of thumbnail it for everybody. It is the mission of Hope Haven of East Texas through partnerships with churches, families, and the community to provide a safe home environment, minister the love of Christ, and to equip neglected and abused girls in the foster care system, preparing them for healthy adult living. I think if we build the entire next 23 minutes of the show around that concept, will be on the right track. And we also want to let people know how they can get in touch with you. Your office is at 2495 South Main Street, Suite 201 in Lyndale. You're open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. If people just want to drop by and visit and talk to you and learn a little bit more about what you do in person, I guess you certainly encourage them to do that. Mailing address is going to be Hope Haven of East Texas, P.O. Box 1110, Lyndale 75771. And the website, HHOFET, stands for Hope Haven of East Texas, .org, HHOFET.org. Phone number, 903-881-1901. And you can also email info at HHOFET.org. And by the way, I went through that pretty quickly. So if you want to find it, it is all on that website, HHOFET.org. I didn't stop to check and make sure you have Facebook and other social media, but I'm sure you do.
We do. I'm sure you have Facebook.
I'm working on our Instagram.
Instagram.
All righty. That was one of the ones I was going to ask about. Good to know that that's a work in progress, as the saying goes. The girls attend school in the Lindale ISD with a case manager as their liaison. Megan, I take it that would be where you and your colleague, you have two case managers where you would come into the picture?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Life skills training, one of the key things that you do. Let's talk about that for a moment. We've talked about it off and on this show with different agencies we've visited with over the years. And a place like Hope Haven obviously is not about just having a place to stay that's safe and comfortable. There's some work involved, and let's talk about some of the things they learn just specifically in life skills training.
So we want to teach job skills. We want to teach driving. We actually had our oldest two have now gotten their IDs so that they can start getting jobs. One of our kids just got her first job, so she's going to be working towards the career that she's interested in already. And Christian Women Job Corps actually comes out and kind of helps them build resumes mm-hmm. and helps them practice interview skills so that they can have those connections and do that type of stuff.
Okay, Christian Women's Job Corps, we had them on the show a number of years ago, maybe due for a repeat at some point or other. Haven't managed to work that out yet, but just wanted to give them a little bit of a plug because that's a real strong basically, their name describes what they do. They help women become more prepared for the workforce, I think, in a nutshell. And it's that's one of, I'm sure, a number of community partners that you have. The girls learn to develop a routine, how to live on a schedule. It sounds like maybe they are, I'm not even sure if we need to throw the maybe in there, but maybe we do. So we'll just say for safekeeping, maybe they didn't learn those skills or have that background in the home that they came from. So just developing a routine, living on a schedule, I'm sure that's a real important part of what you do.
Right. And when kids come in from situations in which they were kind of raising themselves, they had a lot of say in what they did all the time. But we have routines. We have school. We have chores. We have dinner. And so we're also teaching how to cook and how to clean and maintain a house as well.
Doing laundry, the girls will do their laundry and fold the laundry and put it away. Things that in the future, if they were living on their own, they would need to be responsible to know how to do. We kind of like to call it a prudent parent model. We do things for them that a parent would teach their children at home so that when they leave the house, they're prepared for life out there.
But it sounds like in a significant number of cases, or maybe all cases, their parents didn't. It's another example of girls that grew up in an environment that is so foreign to so many of us that do live in safe, comfortable homes with good parents. These girls did not, and that is why Hope Haven exists. They learn how to drive, take care of a car, get a driver's license. When they're 16 or older, that's when they learn how to get and keep a job, including interviewing practice, which I think comes under the heading of those soft skills that we hear so much about in the workforce community. And learn how to budget their money, something I could probably still use some help with.
I'm winning with them.
Yeah.
I teach them.
All right. And they continue their education beyond GED or high school diploma. You tell us that they go to school in Lindale ISD, but in some cases, you do have that option for working with them to get a GED as needed on on an individual basis.
We would have that option. We haven't had to use it yet.
Okay.
And then the state of Texas would actually, if they go to a state school or even a technical school, when they graduate from high school or get their GED, that is paid for by the state. And so they have some great opportunities for advancing once they get out of high school.
Mm-hmm. And as we talk, Curtis, I remember some of the things we discussed the last time you were here. So much groundwork went into this. You finally got your care facility put up in May, but all along you were working on it, working with the state, making sure you had all the I's dotted, all the T's crossed. And now at last, let's see, May, June, July, about 5 or 6 months now you've been up and going.
Right. That's correct.
Yeah.
And the state still comes out and does inspections, both announced and unannounced. And so we have to keep up on all of this paperwork and files and everything to make sure, even down to making sure our fire extinguishers are up to date and the building is exterminated. So they want to make sure that we're taking care of the girls to the best of our ability.
Okay. Curtis Cannon, Executive Director, and Case Manager Megan Sayers with Hope Haven of East Texas, based in Lindale, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. just going through some of the other things the girls learn, develop skills needed for self-sufficiency, healthy relationship skills, learning how to trust people, which just based on what you're telling me about their past environments can be a real challenge. Was there anything more that you wanted to say about that as far as fleshing out some of the things that you do and some of the things you've seen happen to these girls in the time they've been in your care?
Yes. So learning to trust people, it takes a while. And I know that sometimes girls come in and the staff would love for them to just trust them immediately. But since we've been open for about 5 months, I've been able to see girls who were angry and upset with staff often just develop those relationships as staff continues to pour into them and continues to love them. So the persistence of staff and their willingness to continue loving the kids has really gone a long way.
Mm-hmm.
I have one who, since we celebrated our 5 months, she has been here with us for 5 months now, and I can't count, so I definitely celebrated her 6 month anniversary early. But now, everywhere we go, when people ask how long she's been with us, she smiles really big and she's like, "I've been there for 6 months, and I never stay anywhere for longer than a couple months." And so,
Wow. So
just hearing her be so excited to tell strangers that has been really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. So she's giving you a good response, which shows that it's certainly working for her. And I assume with the other girls, I believe that just based on our conversation, you've been having good experiences with the 8 girls you've been working with up until now. And to think about somebody who says that she has never been anywhere more than 2 months, most of us don't know anything about that kind of instability. So I'm sure it's a real challenge for your staff and also for your volunteers, I would imagine. And we want to talk about them in a little while as well.
Yeah, just having that challenge of trying to love people and not seeing it immediately, not seeing that they know that we love them immediately, I think that's been a little bit challenging for people, but that long-suffering is paying off.
And when they start to call Hope Haven their home, that's when you know that in their mind they've realized that that it's a safe place.
Mm-hmm. They learn conflict resolution and how to demonstrate self-control, learn how to express themselves. They know how to express themselves, but I guess you just kind of have to point that in the right direction. They're given choices and options, learning consequences, and encouraged to gain career training. So it sounds like there's not a whole lot that you don't do there to try and get these girls on the right track.
Do a lot of parenting.
Mm-hmm.
We try, since that's where they spend all of their time and that's where they live.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned that they go to, and these girls are the base, ages 13 through 17, the ones you're working with?
And okay. We have one of every age at least.
All righty. They also attend church in Lyndale. They've taken dance and taekwondo. They're currently in gymnastics. And they love to visit the library. And how much experience like this did they have in their previous environments? Probably none or very little. For the Silent comes out to the home once a week. Let's talk a little bit about For the Silent. You mentioned Refuge of Light a little while ago, and we had Missy Zivney with Refuge of Light come visit with us a few weeks back on the show. Refuge of Light works with victims of human trafficking, and For the Silent, from a somewhat different perspective, also addresses that issue. Let's talk a little bit about For the Silent, what they do, and how you work with that group.
So they come out to the house every Thursday, and they do a class. I think it's called I Have a Voice. It's a preventative class that teaches the girls kind of about healthy relationships and forming good boundaries and how to recognize signs of trafficking before they end up in dangerous situations, because girls in foster care are more likely to end up in trafficking situations. So it's mm-hmm. a preventative class.
Very good. The reason that you do what you do, we talked about that in brief earlier. There wasn't any facility like this for this particular demographic in the area until you opened up your facility this past May. But if we can crunch a few numbers here just to drive the point home a little bit more thoroughly, you tell us there are at any given time around 1,100 children in foster care in our area. That's that correct?
That is correct. So there's about 1,100, about 25% of those are teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we probably have about 250 kids in our area that are teenagers in the foster system.
Mm-hmm. And you tell us that about half of these children are placed out of region. And
right.
Now you're at least trying to put a little bit of a dent in that and even more of one in 2019? Do you have a particular 2019? Do you have a particular target date for when you want to increase to 16 girls, or is it just kind of somewhere sometime in early 2019 and still working on the specifics?
We have. Our plan is really to add them, add to our population about three or four at a time, so that we can get them in. The intake process is sometimes pretty paperwork heavy, and so we want to be sure that we don't fall behind on just our documentation and getting them registered in school and their first doctor's visits, which have to be done within the first 3 days of them coming to live with us. And so there's a lot of events and items that we have to take care of right when they come in. So we really couldn't take them all at one time and be able to handle it well.
Okay.
I wouldn't have my hair anymore if we did that.
Okay. Well, Megan, I think, speaking of driving the point home, I think you hit the nail on the head right there. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. We're talking to Curtis Cannon and Megan Sayers with Hope Haven of East Texas, based in Lyndale. And again, some of the contact information. You're at 2495 South Main Street in Lyndale, Suite 201, open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. That's where your office is. You do encourage people to come in and visit and get to know you. You can also phone 903-881-1901, email info@hhofet.org. And as usual, that website that has all that information that we're just not going to have time to get to today. If you want to learn more, and we hope you do, it's hhofet.org. And let's see if I can just kind of run that mission statement by everybody again. It's the mission of Hope Haven of East Texas, through partnerships with churches, families, and the community, to provide a safe home environment, minister the love of Christ, and to equip neglected and abused girls in the foster care system, preparing them for healthy adult living, in case anybody needed a quick refresher on that, or maybe just tuned in this morning. You want every girl in your care to have a successful adult life when she leaves. And that means taking care of current needs and also preparing them on how to handle their needs in the future, and really making sure that these girls can reach their full potential. I don't know if we've hit it from that angle quite yet. It's kind of been a subtext of what we've been talking about. Here's another concept. You use trauma-based care in every aspect of their life at the home. Can you explain to us exactly what trauma-based care is and how it works, and how it works at Hope Haven?
I think a big part of trauma-based care is keeping in mind that the things that we're disciplining for are things that they've been taught as a means of survival. So it's not coming at behaviors as, you're doing something bad, we needed to punish this. It's more of coming at behaviors as, this is a behavior that you've learned, we need to teach you a better way of doing it, so that you can be successful in the future. And so we offer a lot of redos when things are disrespectful or things just aren't done in the way that is helpful. We do a lot of redos so that they can learn better habits. We like logical consequences so that it connects to what they've done and they can learn from it. What else?
We like to keep transitions to where they know what's coming. And so we have two giant whiteboards in the kitchen that they can see everything down to what they'll be eating for breakfast and snack and dinner, to who's going to be coming out to house this week, where they're going to be going this weekend, who has band practice. So they know what's coming and they can prepare for those in time, as opposed to many of these girls may have had some really abrupt changes and moves in their life, and those cause a reaction of trauma. And so knowing things are coming and knowing even that you're going to be provided for today and you've got food coming tomorrow, a lot of times that can provide a lot of comfort.
Mm-hmm. And another point that I find quite important, and I'm reading some of the preparatory material that you sent over just this week, you treat each girl with respect, give them voice, build up their self-worth. That's so important. On the one hand, you have the taking them to the woodshed mentality, which you obviously try to avoid. On the other hand, you're doing this, that respect, giving them a voice, building up their self-worth. Sounds like that's just a key concept, maybe right at the epicenter of what you're really trying to accomplish.
And a lot of times to do that, we provide compromises. So we say what we need, and then we give them the opportunity to say what they need, so that we can find a compromise in between. Therefore, that way we understand where they're coming from. And we also give a lot of choices just in everyday life. Like, do you want this cup or this cup? Do you want, like, this is how we have to do it, but do you want to do it this way or this way? That way they have a lot of say, and they can determine who they are and what they need. find their voice.
And it's been very encouraging even in the community, because this is such a holistic part of our program. The Lindell School District has allowed us to come in and teach trauma-informed care to their teachers at in-service, and so we're all on the same page here as we work with the girls.
That's great. Your needs right now: prayer, volunteers, financial partners, and paid staff. Prayer speaks for itself. Volunteers, you obviously want people who are passionate about the kind of work that you're doing and who are a good fit for you. There is a fee to become a volunteer. You have a volunteer application that needs to be filled out. In a situation like this, it goes without saying, I would think, that volunteers need to be very carefully screened, and that whoever wants to volunteer with you has to feel that he or she is the right fit for your agency, and vice versa.
We have actually three different levels of volunteers. We have volunteers who can come in and kind of do the behind-the-scenes work that aren't necessarily working with the girls. They don't have to be screened quite as carefully. And then we have volunteers who are able to spend time with the girls with staff, and we have volunteers who are able to really mentor them and take them out and do stuff like that. So each level of volunteers get a little bit more training and a little bit more screening, I'd say.
Fingerprints, background checks, FBI background checks, those sort of things.
Definitely have places for anyone who feels called, though.
Anyone who feels called. I think that's a good way to sum it up. The website is hhofet.org, and the volunteer information and volunteer application are right on there if anybody wants to volunteer. And, of course, you can also call Hope Haven of East Texas at 903-881-1901 or shoot that email to info@hhofet.org. You could also use some more paid staff, and I believe there may be a provision for that on the website as well.
Yes, there is under Get Involved, I think there's a job application. And as we grow up to 16, we're going to need more people in the house with them to do that daily life with them. So that would be great.
We have to have one paid care staff for every 5 girls in the home. And so every time we add a group of girls, we have to add another staff. So right now at 8 girls, we have 2 staff. That's always on the clock with the girls, so that we're within that ratio. We can go over that, but we can't go below that. So as we add, we always have to be adding staff.
Financial partners always need that money, and it's easy to donate online. I checked, and there is an online donation option. I guess they can write you a check, too, if they want, and we've already given out the contact information, and that's on the website, too, so certainly. And as far as financial partners, I understand you just recently wrapped up your annual gala. That was held in September. How did that go?
It was good. We had a great time. We probably had somewhere around 400 to 450 people show up. We had a great band of Kyle Hutton and Radney Foster came, and they're very much into the foster care movement here in Texas. And it was a super fun activity with a lot of folks came out. The first year we had girls, and our girls from the home were able to come to the event as well, and that was really fun.
That was fun.
They liked the photo booth.
They liked the photo booth. That's interesting. In this day and age of selfies and cell phones, they like the photo booth.
Right,
that's interesting.
Exactly.
Sometimes old school is the best school. And that's something you're going to be doing every year?
Yes, we sure will. We'll do that every year in the fall. We have a golf tournament with the Delek Refinery that we participate in the spring, and then we have our gala in the fall.
Okay. Very good. Talking to Curtis Cannon and Megan Sayers with Hope Haven of East Texas, based in Lindale. Website is hhofet.org, and the show has moved pretty quickly. We actually have about a minute left. And anything that you want to say in closing to just kind of tell people a little bit more and maybe encourage them to support you?
Well, John, I do appreciate you have both Megan and I here today. It is, for us, it's a passion of ours more than a job. We really do care for these girls, each one that comes through the home, and we want them to have the best life now and the best future possible. And so it's a lot of fun to go to work every day and know that there may be an impact being made, whether it's a small impact or a visual large impact every day.
Okay. And again, the mission of Hope Haven of East Texas, through partnerships with churches, families, and the community, to provide a safe home environment, minister the love of Christ, and to equip neglected and abused girls in the foster care system, preparing them for healthy adult living. 8 girls now, we hope 16 by sometime next year, and more to come as you continue to help these girls make better lives for themselves. We are out of time. But thanks so much for joining us today. Curtis Cannon and Megan Sayers with Hope Haven of East Texas. Great to have you here with us this morning.
Thank you so much. We enjoyed it.
You bet. Curtis and Megan with us this morning from Hope Haven. I'm John Sims. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again next week on In Focus.